Discovery's four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0,
FMV, liftoff.
Hello, world! We're coming at you live from space, believe it or not. This is the GadgetCast. My name is Gregory McFadden, joined always with my co-host with his new iPhone, Travis MCP.
Space travel.
That's right. We did it. We're here. Apple Week is kind of upon us and past us all at the same time. And we're here to talk about the things that we've been talking about for months. But we didn't really, you know, we were always guessing, but now we know.
We know.
Now we know.
We got the phones, the iPads, everything. They're in our possession. Oh, you got your little, look at this. All right. We're going to, you know, if, you know, for the audio listeners, maybe you want to go on YouTube. Look at this iPad mini that's supposed to be purple. Kind of isn't
I
sometimes.
Hate I hate that, man. Did you get the smart case with its purple? Because that'll at least make it kind of purple.
I've no, seen it I just I went bare iPad, and I didn't get any cases for it yet. I don't know.
I
was considering it. We'll talk about that as we talk about these iPads and my use case with this. But I did get the purple one specifically for GadgetCast. When I first saw it, I think I just like tweeted Travis. I'm like, oh, it's purple for GadgetCast. I'm picking that one up. And you know, like normally it's like, okay, do I like for GadgetCast, I wanted it to be like a deeper purple, but honestly, I don't mind too much that it's like a more subdued purple. I kind of feel like that would fit my personal taste a little bit better. And I'm actually really happy I got this one because even though it's not like purple, if you catch it in the right light, it is. And then every other time it kind of just looks space gray, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. I would kind of like to get the purple. I kind of wish that I could that I had gotten it now, even though it's not. The one thing I hate about the iPad Air and the iPad Mini kind of colors is that they're not. I don't want to say aggressive. I just want to say that they're not like vibrant enough.
They need to go, you know, bolder. I don't.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's not a consistent strategy in their lineup, not to take the whole show up with the colors, but like you look at the iMacs and they're so bright and vibrant. Like I went to go pick up my iPhones in the store and I got to see like every color of the iMac displayed for the first time. Like, wow, that looks like really sharp in the store. They're all sitting there. It stands out so much. And then you have the phones, and then some years the phones are vibrant. Some years they're more muted, which I think this year they are a little bit more muted. And then the iPads are like the worst on them. Yeah. They might as well not even be different colors because they just look like a slightly different shade of silver or space gray.
Well, a couple of things. Someone says real quick in the chat, wish iPad Mini had voice and call like a phone. It does.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. That's what that's what makes iMessage so amazing. And the fact that you can take your phone calls on anything. As long as you have an iPhone, you can take your phone calls and text on your iPad, and you probably should. That's why I say when you come home, you can put your phone away. If you have your iPad with you, you can do all that stuff. That's why I love the Apple ecosystem. Now, having said that, to your color comment, they do it within the same series because the 13 series are bright and kind of vibrant and stuff versus the Pro. The Pro is the one that's kind of understated.
Yes, that is true.
So they divide it that way because even the 12s and 11s, same thing. The regular version, super kind of to the color, whatever the color they've chosen, and whatever. So I'm going to pull up on the screen just what some of the cases and stuff look like. But go ahead, what you were saying.
I was just saying, like, the color differences are... it's weird how, like, each year they don't seem to have a consistent strategy. But maybe they consider the iPad Air and the iPad Mini more of a Pro device, but they have the iPad Pro, so why not let them be a little bit bolder in their color choices? Well, I think it would be cool.
And this is one thing I hate about what Apple does. So right now I'm showing on screen, and I'll make our screens a little bigger, our Sierra Blues, right? Yeah. Beautiful looking phone. It's really great. No matching cases. They have a see-through case, which to me isn't the right thing. The blue version of the iPhone 13, I think, is one of the best looking phones that are out right now, but they do have an exact matching case for it, which ironically I bought for my Sierra Blue, and at the very least is close enough for the Pro. When you put it in, so originally I got the leather case. They didn't have, because I like the leather case, but the leather case they have is like green, and it just doesn't look right. So for people who don't know, if you had the iPhone 11 Pro Max, that series, it was that color. So it didn't make sense. But this, which is, I think, called Jaybird or something like that, with this is pretty good. Now, I see. Look at this. Now, it's not good enough. I would like to have a clear. It actually looks really nice. Putting the case on the color is blasphemy. Genosis, listen, man, I'm going to be out where if this phone gets dropped, it's a wrap. And I do want to talk a little bit about that later on, because I think cases and screen protectors, for me, are mandatory.
This is my case. I went with this one, which is okay. I don't know.
That's the color of my iPad Pro case, or iPad Mini case.
I like the color of the case. It's okay on the blue iPhone. It's whatever. I normally don't use cases, but this time I was kind of like, I went to go buy it, and I was like, I'm going to get a case this time and just kind of keep it in the case for a little bit. I don't know. I got paranoid getting the new phone for some reason because the cameras, as we'll talk about, the camera bump is huge on this phone. And I got like really worried. I'm like, oh, I don't want to drop this or like have it like smack the camera and they all like break or shatter. I just got like really paranoid for some reason. And like even like setting the phone down on the table when it's out of the case and stuff like that, there's like this like huge imbalance with the camera bump now. So I was like, I'm going to get a case this time around.
Yeah. And it does, for people watching on YouTube, it does kind of fix that issue.
Yeah.
But another thing you need to pay attention to, because a lot of people walk around with, and I don't know how people do this. So a lot of people who have iPhones without cases and screen protectors will have messed up looking phones, which to me is just, it's a non-starter. So, but something interesting came out the other day, and I'm going to make a video about this on my channel. Hopefully I'll get it out by the time this podcast goes up in audio form. If you crack the front screen of an iPhone 13 and you try to get it fixed. Now, there are lots of places in malls and stuff around here where you can do the replacement of the screen, or if you try to do it yourself, which I've done on my YouTube channel, and that went kind of hilariously wrong. Apparently, if you don't get it fixed at Apple and use one of the generic screens, which are usually fine, Face ID stops working. And this is something that is, according to kind of this YouTuber who figured this out, is purposeful by Apple, because they've done similar things before in the past and they have fixed it in software releases later. But this time seems purposeful. And I'm going to try to do a video on it tonight and get it out tomorrow so people can understand exactly what I'm talking about. But at that point, you know, now you're really risking, if you break it and you want to get it fixed, then you definitely have to go to Apple, which I don't know if that's more expensive or not. I have no idea. But those little kiosks around the malls and stuff are cheap. So it's always been something that I've done if I had a crack on something. So from now on, if you have a 13, you got to go straight to Apple, or you might lose the only way really to unlock your phone in any kind of significant way, which is Face ID, which can be used for so many things.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I look forward to your video on that topic.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, case and screen protector for me is mandatory. I got this blue kind of cool live, what is it called? What is that called?
It's a, I don't know. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
live wallpaper. Dynamic, yeah, live wallpaper.
Something.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's great. So the phone itself, Pro Max battery life, of course, is ridiculous, right? The smaller notch, I noticed. I did a video about how I didn't really notice the 120 hertz. My comment section was pretty not evenly split. I believe, if I remember correct, in my mind, it was more agreeing with me than disagreeing. But the people who disagreed hard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I said something similar with mine, and that I notice it. I'm not going to say I don't notice it. Like, it's there. I can see that it's faster if I take two phones side by side and I scroll with them.
Right.
But I found that it was something that I noticed if I looked for it, but if I wasn't looking for it, I don't feel like it made iOS that much smoother than it already was. And everything from the previous versions of the iPhone felt smooth. And in my little initial impressions video, I said, I don't think it's there. It's there for sure. I'm not saying it's not there. I can see it. But I don't think it's a reason to go out and buy the phone. I don't think it's like this awesome feature. I think iOS was, as we said, because we were, you know, go listen to a previous Gadgetcast and you're like, iOS is already smooth. I can't wait to see what it looks like with 120 hertz on it. And it's like, because it was already smooth, it made so much less of a difference when you compared it against other Android phones where the 120 hertz, according to most people, seems to be a lot more noticeable.
Right. It's understated. So I see it, but first of all, we know for a fact it's not everywhere. In my video, I showed that Apple admitted that third-party apps can't even take advantage of it yet. So anyone who's saying otherwise is being disingenuous. Or they have confirmation bias, which is even worse, which goes back to a video from years ago that Jimmy Kimmel did. I posted this on Twitter. I really would love to do this, where when the iPhone 7 was announced, they went out and tricked people. They said, hey, you know, the new iPhone 7 just announced. You can see it. They would take the people's iPhone 6, and without them looking, because they're saying, hey, you know, it does this instant transfer. They just cleaned it, put a new case on it, gave it back to them, and they all thought it was an iPhone 7. So confirmation bias can be real strong. Having said that, for me, I see it, but it was definitively all the time I used the Fold, I could see it. Like, it was next level 120 hertz. Like, it just looked great. And maybe that is because it was implemented everywhere. And maybe if it gets implemented everywhere here, I'll see it more and I'll feel it more. But it's not the reason to upgrade. And that was really the point of that video. It wasn't that you won't see it if you get the phone. That was not the point. Of course, people don't get the point of videos all the time. The point was that if that's the only reason you're upgrading, it's kind of not, in my opinion, worth it for that. There's other reasons it's worth it. And I love how people were pointing out, well, there's other reasons. And I'm like, yeah, but I've been saying this for a long time. The battery life, for me, is the number one reason. Yeah. The number two reason is some of the camera improvements. And then everything else is much smaller than that. But the number one reason is the battery. Period. End of story.
Yeah, and I do want to go back to that 120 hertz thing, because this is, yeah. Travis isn't lying. This is something Apple themselves acknowledged and said there's a bug right now with something with the core animation, and they're working to fix that. And also that third-party apps will have to do like an update to their app to take advantage to get full 120 hertz. So it's not like Apple saying, like when it first came out, I saw like a lot of people on Twitter with like the immediate take where they didn't read the article and they're like, oh, Apple's only saving 120 hertz for their apps. How Apple, like, this is awful. And it's like, no, it's people need to update their apps, and there is also a bug they didn't foresee. So they're going to fix that hopefully soon with the next update. And there's some things with like animations and apps that Travis is right. They aren't at 120 hertz. So maybe when they roll out that update, maybe we'll have a different opinion of it. But even like in the home screen and stuff where it's clearly enabled, it's not making that much of a drastic difference, at least for me. Everyone has different eyes too. Maybe for someone else, Renee talked about that a lot. You know, maybe for you, you see it and you're like, how are these guys, you know, what are they talking about? I see it. So I don't, you know, it's your experience.
One of the things I said about this was that when I'm giving my opinion on something, I'm giving my opinion saying that the vast majority of people either will or will not experience whatever I'm talking about. And I was not convinced enough. And the comments really verified this for me. Some people were like, oh, I thought it was just me. I'm glad you said that, which to me verifies what I said. In other words, if I were to say to you in a YouTube video, the reason you should buy the iPhone 13 is because 120 hertz is slamming, and you go get it and you're like, I don't see it, you're going to think I'm full of S, right? Like, you're going to think that. So it's better for me to say, I don't think it's worth the reason to get it, and you get it and go, oh no, it's great, I really like it. Then that's a good thing, right? It's not a bad thing. So it's a little weird, some people miss the point of my videos because I think there's a lot of nuance in my videos and not everyone catches that. By the way, there was another comment in the chat, and this is a bug. Apparently, if you have Apple Watch, there's some problems with it working with like masks and stuff and unlocking your phone. And Apple has also acknowledged that, and that will be fixed in an upcoming update, probably 15.1.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a new phone. And sadly, like, it seems like every phone nowadays, it's like you get it and it's like it's not really necessarily 100% ready on day one. But this has been a problem. It feels like every year with almost every phone launch, there's some sort of bug or something that's affecting it. But hopefully they fix some of it. Let's go back to battery life real quick, because I don't want to
I was literally going to talk about that. Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
You know, we're talking about this 120 hertz display, but it's different than that. It's an adaptive refresh rate display. It goes from 10 hertz to 120 hertz. And what a lot of reviewers have found and a lot of tests have found, not only did they increase the physical size of the batteries in all the phones this year, but if you actually compare, I got the regular size 13 Pro. If you compare that against the regular size 13, the 13 Pro is actually getting better battery life. So I said, even if this 120 hertz display isn't like everything it's made out to be, or you don't notice it, you are getting better battery life out of it because of the efficiency of the display, because it ran like I spend a lot of time watching video on my phone, Travis. So when it's watching video, it's probably, if it's like a 30 frame per second video, it's only using 30 hertz. Or if it's 20 frames, it's using 24 hertz. And that is saving this phone a lot of battery life, to the point where I think Mr. Who's the Boss put up like a test, and what? It was like almost like 10 hours of screen on time on the max version. And the smaller Pro for this year beat out the 12 Pro Max last year, which was, it was no slouch in battery life. So these phones are huge improvements in battery life. And I was just, I also got the 13 mini, but I haven't really tested out yet. But I saw Gary's tweets today, the Everyday Dad, and he was saying the 13 mini's battery life has also been improved a lot, to the point where he's like, I feel comfortable. I could use this phone all day. And that is really reassuring to hear.
So I'm going away on a business trip all week, and this is going to get a really good test, because I will be near the airport plus a bunch of YouTubers in one place, all using phones. And if you've ever been to like a place where there's a congestion of people using smartphones at the same time, you will know that the battery drain can be real, depending on how many people are in the area, because the signal gets, now this is going to sound like shenanigans, but if you know anything about it, Vegas is a good example of it. There's a thing called PAX in Seattle that happens, and only during PAX does this happen, where you can't get any kind of signal. Your battery just starts draining super quick. So I'm excited to put this through the paces, but I'll give you an idea. Like today, we're doing this. It's 5:18 p.m. my time. My phone has been off charger for 11 hours exactly right now. 11 hours. My screen on time has only been 2 hours, but I mean, that's kind of normal for me. I'm on it, but I'm mostly on my computer when I'm at home. So 2 hours is not a lot, but by the sacred token, it's 2 hours of the screen being on, and it's been off charger for 12 hours. The battery right now is at 88%. That is ridiculous. There are phones that could have a minute of screen on time that would not be at 88% 12 hours, almost 12 hours later. Like there just there isn't. So, I mean, I won't have to charge this tonight. If I don't want to, I can go to bed with this. This thing will easily have 80% when I go to bed. And if I didn't want to charge it overnight, I would definitely be good throughout tomorrow. So, and again, if I don't go crazy by trying a battery test, and I just use it the way I normally would, that thing is going to last and last and last. I think I can get 3 days out of this with my type of usage. I'm going to attempt it too.
Yeah. The battery life on this thing, for me, for the Pro, and this is the smaller version, so Travis is seeing better battery life. I've had about 3 hours of screen on time, pretty average day, nothing like crazy heavy, but I've been off the charger since 7:22 a.m., and I'm sitting at 49% battery life. So this is the regular Pro, not the big one.
Oh.
So, hey,
how long has it been off charger?
Since 7:22 a.m. my time, and it's 8:19 p.m. my time, so it's later than Travis.
So 13 hours. And how many hours of on time?
3 hours.
3 hours. So another hour more than mine. And you have the smaller version. It's been on 13 hours. You still have half of your battery
left.
Half of
my battery left. Yeah, this is like a very normal, typical day for me on Twitter, taking photos, taking videos today, TikTok, YouTube, all that stuff. So even when it, you know, and I was in an area today where I got like super bad cell service. So I knew that was draining the battery for at least an hour today. I'm here at 50%. I'm telling you, if I was on like the normal iPhone 12 from last year, based on this kind of usage, I feel like I would be at like 20%, maybe 30% if I'm being super generous. But this basically feels like the 12 Pro Max battery. Like this feels like a typical day with my 12 Pro Max. And that is not a complaint. That's a good thing. Like, because it's the smaller phone this year and it has the smaller battery. So the fact that it's at 50% at this time of day, I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, and that's really the point, is after all of this is said and done, even the smaller phones are performing like... I think everyone knows who had the 11 series to the 12 series know that there was a slight down crease of battery life, because I remember my 11 Pro Max being a battery monster, but my 12 Pro was not as good as the 11 Pro Max. Having said that, we're back to 11 and perhaps even better battery life. I never had a complaint about the 12 Pro Max, 11 Pro Max, either battery life or camera or anything. I thought it was a great phone. And I feel like this is that plus some. And I'm excited to see how my kind of, this is, I've only had it for a couple of days, right? We've had it for a couple of days. So far, so good. I like the smaller notch. I don't know that it's going to make that big of a difference. I just want the notch to go away. But other than that, the 120 hertz does smooth some things out. So you do feel something smoother. You get some cool new features. You get, you know, some great new camera features that are more about the hardware than the software.
Yeah, let's talk about the camera, because have you tried the cinematic mode?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
I would like to. I probably will when I go on my trip, because there'll be tons of opportunities for that, but not yet.
Yeah. So I think, again, and I say this, the battery life improvements are huge. Like, if you have an older iPhone and you're worried about battery life, like if your current phone's like awful at battery, I think any of these phones this year, maybe the exception of the Mini, like maybe you'll get the same battery life out of that, but like the 13, 13 Pro, 13 Pro Max, everything I've read, everything I've tested myself, huge battery life improvements. Genosis is asking if I have the Pro or Pro Max. I just have the regular Pro, so the 6.1 inch. These are huge battery life improvements. But I will say for the Pro this year, I feel like you're getting a lot of camera improvements, even more so than other years where the camera seems similar on the regular models. The wide angle has a faster aperture. The ultra wide angle has a faster aperture than the normal one. And then the telephoto is now a 3X, which I actually really like. I found that the pictures looked a lot better when I was like zoomed in trying to get like a closer up picture. But I really like, have you tried the macro mode? Because I really like that one.
I'm actually going to use that a couple times, I think, when I do my review, because that's the one thing that always confused me about the 12 is how bad it was at close-up pictures, even if it wasn't at macro range. I'm like, I can't get this thing in focus if I'm trying to get close. So I'm excited that it finally kind of works.
Yeah, and it's really good. The detail you get on like some of these photos when you get in like close, like you're surprised like it's like still focusing that close. And I've seen a lot of good shots on Twitter, a lot better than mine. But yeah, I really like that feature. It was something like I didn't even know I wanted until I started using it. And I'm like, okay, this is great. There is like an automatic mode to it right now where it kind of like switches automatically. Apple already said they're going to make another update so you can disable that. I'm probably going to disable that right away. Like if I want macro, I know to switch to the other one. But I guess it makes sense for like users who probably would never know that it did that and they're getting close and it automatically switches. So that's nice. You don't have to really kind of manage it. But the cinematic mode was like the big feature this year that I think we talked about a ton. And we're like, if this feature works the way they say it works, it is going to be mind-blowing. It is going to be a game changer, because not even regular cameras can do some of the things that cinematic mode is doing. And I knew going into this not to have perfect expectations for this, because I've seen Apple do portrait mode photos and those aren't perfect. So how are they going to perfect this video blurring mode, which sounds way harder than a single photo? But to my surprise, I think it performed better than I was expecting. There are times where it misses. There are times where it can get sloppy, but overall, I don't, should I pull up my footage of it so I could show people?
Yeah,
what you think?
Go ahead, because we'll show it in the yeah. I was just doing a because you can do it with a front facing camera too, which is something they didn't announce in the video.
And
so I was just kind of playing around with it just now as he was talking, and it is interesting. The one thing that makes or breaks this is a couple of things. Number one, well, I should one things, but a couple of things. Number one, lighting. Outside, I've seen it seem to work a little better than inside. I did this when I did my review of the reviews on YouTube. If you watched, I did it a while back when I was watching the reviews of the iPad Pro, and I didn't like how Rene Ritchie's looked like. It wasn't his fault. It's just I didn't like the way it looked. But then Justine's, when she took it outside, it looked really good, I thought.
We're going to talk. I want to kind of talk about that, too. I don't want to knock reviewers. And I love Rene, so I'm not knocking Rene or anything like
that. It's not. By the way, let's be clear. It's not a criticism of Rene. He has the hardware. He's just using it. It's not his fault.
Right. But I will say, I noticed in Rene's video, and this isn't a fault to him. I think he probably wanted to test it at its worst case kind of thing, which is also a good thing to do. But yes. I was more interested in, like, I know what not to do with it. So when Rene, and he clearly labels this in his video, and some of the examples he shows are better, but when he did the A-roll on himself, he was using the telephoto lens. And if you know anything about, like, the iPhone telephoto lens, it's the worst for low light. And Rene kind of has, like, a little bit of a darker background and stuff like that. So it really kind of messed up there. Maybe the wide angle would have messed up, but I found that the regular wide angle lens does it the best with cinematic mode. I don't know if I necessarily want to try and use the telephoto lens. And I noticed that on a couple other reviews where people were using the telephoto and it wasn't working that well. Let's see.
It's funny because this was discussed, I can't remember when, but the telephoto lens is like the least kind of, It's the only lens that Apple really hasn't done the magic to that they've done to the other lenses, it appears, at least, you know, from the outside looking in.
I mean, it's hard to do because they have to use like a slower aperture to kind of get that zoom, I guess. And this is for like most other like Android phones, like the telephoto lens is not the lens you want to use unless you have to get close and you can't. And then it's like, okay, obviously I'm going to use that. But if you're looking to get the most light, you always want to use the wide angle lens. So let's see. Let me share this.
All right. I'm going to bring that up for the people that are in the... Again, if you're listening to the audio podcast, I think it's really important for you to come to the YouTube channel and watch this. Let's go ahead and hit that.
I'm going
to
keep it muted because I don't want to hear myself. But this is one of the macro shots of my jeans. Let me put this 4K. So that's a macro shot. See how like the detail you get close?
Good Lord. Yeah, I mean, you can see the hairs. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, these are all macro shots. And it does a pretty good job. Sometimes if you don't have really enough light, it's kind of like, but you can see it solves that focusing problem you were talking about where it's not close enough. You could see.
Yeah, there's some good shots here.
All that, you know, all these different close-up shots and stuff like that. Let's get to the cinematic stuff. So this was cinematic mode.
Okay.
And what do you think?
That's pretty cool. That actually is pretty cool so far. And so he's looking away out a window and it's kind of, oh, and then it just focuses the outside. Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool. I'm going to say that is a really good shot. I would be happy with that. Yeah.
So let's go to some other examples.
Hey, there's Will alive. Good. Oh, is this another one?
This is kind of outside with movement, which is obviously harder for it to do. You can see maybe if you're being nitpicky, and I think Renee had this problem too, you could kind of see the ears probably shouldn't be a little blurred out. But overall...
It'll get better with time.
Yes.
And whether it gets better with different lenses and different phones, or if just the software, like the algorithm gets kind of fixed a little bit, it's still not bad for like a first shot at it.
I think it looks pretty good because don't forget, like before, and I've seen like Samsung's portrait mode. I've never used it, so I don't want to judge it based on that. But like based on like all the comparisons I've done, this seems to do a better job. Especially with movement. And I gotta say, like, this is like a shot you could not pull off on an iPhone before.
And if you're
looking at it for A-roll and stuff like that, it looks pretty good. And then there's...
It does. Well, most phones do well outside. Outside light is like the easiest thing to solve for. It's indoors where it gets sketchy. And I really love
the effects of like changing.
That's awesome. See, that shot right there was great. But I don't have anyone to shoot my B-roll, so I can
And then when you turn
that.
Back, see that?
Yeah.
So, hold on. This one I loved because I got to show you the example. We did some pool shots and I messed up. So, you know, don't make fun of me. Oh, wait, hold on.
Where is this? For those watching and listening to the audio podcast, we're watching a Greg's Gadgets video, if you can believe that. Oh, that's tight. That is cool.
Look at that.
That was cool, man. That's something you see on TV shows and movies. That was really, really good.
Now, this one surprised me because I thought it was... this one's good. Hold on.
That was a pool table for people listening. Sorry. It was a pool table where the balls are in front of like the camera and it zooms from him getting ready to shoot the pool all the way up to the balls coming. So just to explain for the audio people. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, audio people. Again, we'll have the YouTube link in the description. This is the camera features. Honestly, it's going to benefit you to come to the YouTube channel and watch this because you're going to get a really good idea of how these cameras perform. And it's kind of hard to talk about that stuff on a podcast. I like this example a lot. Because I wasn't intending this, but this is a good example of like on humans, you expect it to probably do the best job. But look at the balls in the background. They're blurred and everything.
Yeah.
And you could see there's like roll off of like the blur.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like a, you know, from one to one. And then this one, I was really trying to mess it up.
I'm
like, let me put a bunch of things in here and let's see how bad. But I thought this came out pretty good for the situation I put it in. And that's front-facing camera, walking, if you're doing like a vlog.
Mm-hmm. So that's him walking, holding it, kind of the vlog format. Before it was like some grain or something, you know, in a field. So, yeah, I mean, it's darn good. At the end of the day, I mean, you're probably not going to make a movie out of it, although you could. But the reality is the fact that a phone can do this, something that fits in your pocket... is pretty darn amazing.
And I think this is the coolest example I showed in my video. So this was the pool shot, right? Mm-hmm. Now look what I'm doing here. So I have you can change this all in post-production. So look, I can focus on anything in this scene. I can go right to my face if I want to. I could focus on any of the individual balls. I could focus on like anything I tap, I can focus on. And it's all changing. I'd focus on the windows. That is the coolest part of this. The fact that you can go in afterwards and change the focus points. Like, there's so many times where I messed up footage, and if I could go and do that in post, it would have been a life-saving feature for me.
My iJustine video would have been saved
if I
could have done that. What people don't understand about why this is so amazing is not only is it, from a technical standpoint, a really cool and amazing thing, something like a feature like that was never even on the radar for me, like, because I didn't think the possibilities were there. In other words, you don't think, oh, after the fact, you're going to do that. You're in this mindset of, well, you shot the footage. It was on a lens. You can't fix it after the fact. Like, you can digitally sharpen it, but it's not going to be the same. Apple went, no, we're just going to go ahead and change the world. And I don't know if, I've never even heard of a camera that does that. You know what would be really interesting? I don't remember if I said this last time. I wonder what Apple could do if they came out with their own, like, YouTuber camera. Like, if they really went into that, oh my God, Sony would be shaking in their boots, because that type of technology would be in there. And if they have the image quality with like a really big sensor and stuff, Apple could half the people editing on like Final Cut already. You get, I got an Apple, camera thing, and it does all these features that the iPhone does, except for better, because the lens is better. Everything's better. Holy crap.
Yeah. And I think the best thing about this is it's generation one, right? Like, it's still limited to 1080p video, which is fine, I guess, but this can only get better. And if you remember the first generation of portrait mode, it kind of had a lot of the same mistakes, and it still trips up from time to time. I don't think it's ever going to be super perfect, but this is generation one. It can only get better from here. And I was really impressed with this feature. I was impressed enough to where it's like, okay, maybe I'll start using this for some shots that, I don't want to bring out the big camera all the time. Same thing with the macro mode. If I can get like some close detail shots, because you can use that in video too, by the way, the macro camera. Sometimes you want to get those close details. And even my current, my expensive camera, I can't get that close sometimes with the lenses I use. Like, you have to get like an actual macro lens. So there's a lot of stuff here. I know they call it the pro phone. People make fun of that. But as someone who makes a living off doing this stuff, I found it extremely, like, it's a tool. So if it can replace certain things that I use my current camera for, I feel like that's like a huge benefit for this phone. And I think normal people will also like some of these things where they're going to be even less picky than us. Like, if it can blur the background and all of a sudden their room isn't a mess and they could take a video of it or like a TikTok, that's really cool. Because if you spend any time on TikTok, you'll know that the quality for some of this stuff is already, like, a lot of people don't care about it, because you'll see like green screen like footage on TikTok all the time of these like really popular videos, and it's not even like completely keying out their green screen, because they don't actually have like a green screen. Like, it's all like trying to do it with computational photography. So I think these features are only going to get better, and I'm really happy with the cameras on the 13 Pro.
It's and I don't want to like just sit here and just gush over the thing, but the technology is amazing. And you have to go see it for yourself. Now, again, whether or not you should upgrade, we kind of went over that last week. Yeah. I actually made a video version of that. If you don't want to wait for 30 minutes to see it, you can go to my channel, and we kind of did a tier list of, which iPhone do you have? Which one should you upgrade to? I think it was really a great segment. It had some really great comments on it. So definitely go back and check that out. So we'll definitely get back to the iPhone next week, especially after I've used it for a full week with some additional things. Yeah. I'm just impressed by the battery so far, and I'm excited for the battery so far. I'll definitely be using this and keeping you guys up on the thing. Oh, can you use macro with non-pro? No, you cannot.
No, you can't. Yeah, that's only a pro feature. we should get, because Patrick Tomaso also has a YouTube channel, and he did all of his main A-roll footage with the cinematic mode, and he does way better like videography than any of us do. Like he did it really well, and he's actually like a professional. He does like freelance, all this stuff. So maybe we should get him on the podcast to talk about this and talk about cinematic mode and stuff like that. I'm sure he's going to have a lot more experience with it next week. I'll see if we can get him on as we revisit this.
Let's talk a little bit about the iPad mini.
Let's do that.
I have my white case. I also have an orange case, so I have two cases. I like to put cases on my iPads. Not just now, by the way, my iPads don't leave the house, especially ones that I use to edit my videos. I don't want nothing to go with it. This iPad mini is not leaving the house. My older iPad mini might go with me on my trip. The one that is not as exciting. I know people are going to be kind of disappointed because I won't be able to get a review out for this because I won't be using it for the next week. But I can tell you what I think already. And I think that it wouldn't change too much right now anyway. So as someone who's listened to this show for any length of time, know that Greg and I were most excited about this. This little iPad, which is just taking the Air and shrinking it down. But in some ways, it's so much more because it was always, in my opinion, the best iPad, the best version. This thing, which I'm holding up and Greg is holding up, let me go ahead and make our screens a little bigger. This is the key to the kingdom, as far as I'm concerned. It's not perfect because if they made it a pro version, like, you know, with all the things like the little connectors and 120 hertz, which I'll talk about in a minute, then I think it's the perfect perfect iPad, period. But it's darn close. And I love the form factor so much that I see myself using this anytime I can't use my iPad Pro, or I don't want to because my iPad Pro is a 12.9. It's freaking like a laptop, which is going to be most of the time. I did a video today where I talked about the speed difference between the Pro and the Mini. There is a difference about that. But other than that, for most people, this is the one. This is the one. It is a little expensive, but it is all the things I hoped it would be with very few drawbacks at all. Like the only thing I would say is I do wish that it had 120 hertz. I didn't think I would care at first, but I do kind of care a little bit. There is some reports of some jelloing as you kind of scroll. And I did notice kind of the 60 hertz after coming from an iPad Pro. But other than that, you know, I've been talking about it for weeks and months. I'm happy. Thank you, Apple.
Yeah. This was the product I was most excited to get, which is funny because I think after getting my iPhone, I think I got more excited for the iPhone. But leading up into this, I was really excited for the Mini. Like you said, I think it was like the star of the show for so many people. And I was trying to reflect on this. I put a video up today on the iPad Mini as well. And it was weird to see that it was the star of the show because we've been talking about the iPad Mini for a while. We're big fans of it. But it kind of felt like a forgotten product in the minds of most people and a forgotten product from Apple. It felt like they were just kind of keeping the old design on life support, maybe upgrading the chip every once in a while. Especially like we didn't get that A12 version of the iPad Mini for quite some time. And as you pointed out last week, the iPad Mini 3 was the worst upgrade of all time. It had the same awful chip in it from like a couple of years, and they just put Touch ID in it and they made it like $100 more expensive. So it was an awful upgrade. And iPad Mini fans have kind of been having to suffer with last generation stuff for like quite some time. This is the first time ever really in the iPad Mini's history that it is a premium product on par with the iPad Air. In fact, better than the iPad Air. Now, not the pros, right? The pros are obviously better than the Mini in terms of specs, but for the first time ever, the Mini iPad is better than the regular full-size iPad. And that's not something you could say before. So it's a weird product in that it's more powerful than the iPad Air. It has some features that the iPad Air doesn't have with like the center stage camera. And I've been using this product. I've been enjoying it a lot. I think a lot of people read the title of my video I did on it and they immediately thought I didn't like it because I said it was weird. Some guy's like, "You're weird, Greg. I love the iPad Mini." It's like, I don't think you watched the video because I said a lot of positive things about it. But I wanted to acknowledge that it was a weird product in their lineup because for like what? The past, I don't know, 5 years, Apple has really been trying to push the iPad as more of a laptop replacement. Would you say that's fair? Like everything they've been trying to do, they've been putting keyboard attachments, making split screen multitasking, all this stuff to really try and make your next purchase an iPad rather than a laptop. And the iPad Mini is now the only iPad in Apple's lineup that isn't trying to do that. Even the $329 iPad, when they pitch it, they're really trying to target education, and they're really trying to say, hey, this iPad's $329, attach a keyboard to it, it replaces your laptop, it's faster than your laptop. And this iPad mini doesn't even have the smart connector. It has none of those ambitions to ever replace your laptop. It is just good at being a tablet. And as I was thinking about this, it made me realize that this device, the reason why I like it so much, and I think the reason why you probably like it so much, is because it stays true to the original vision of the iPad as this device that it's not a phone, it's not a laptop, it's something in the middle that you pick up besides those two products when you're relaxing, when you want to read something, when you want to watch video, when you're lounging. I'm sure you found this too, like because the form factor is smaller, you can easily type with it in portrait mode or landscape mode. My thumbs can reach the entirety of the display. If I did that with my 12.9 inch iPad Pro, I'd have to put it down on my lap to type because it's just too big. So there's none of these expectations that it has to replace your laptop, and it just really functions well as this small tablet that's really portable, really thin. You can hold this up all day, no problem. It's easier to game on, actually, because of its smaller display. The controls are all easier to reach. And I just loved using this thing because even though you can video edit on it or do all these pro tasks on it, I didn't feel compelled to do that. I didn't go, I need to try and edit a video on this. I need to try and edit photos on this. Mm-hmm. I just accepted this as, this is an iPad. I'm going to use it when I, you know, lay on the couch or sit on the toilet. Like, I'm going to use my iPad as an iPad. And I found that that's why I really enjoyed it. And I agree with you. I think if you want a tablet, like you want to use your iPad as a tablet, I think this is the best form factor that Apple sells. Like,
And it is, you know, of course, using the A15. I did a video today where I compared the A15 to the M1, just kind of see exactly what type of performance we're going to get out of it. Now, here's, you know, TLDR, for those who didn't watch the video, you certainly should go watch it. I went into it kind of thinking that there would be some tests that the A15 might beat the Pro at, but most it probably wouldn't, because it's the M1 iPad Pro, you know, is really meant for professional use, and it should be. But the reality is there's new technology in A15 that I figured there would at least be a couple of tests that it should be able to eke out. And it didn't. So if you watch my video, you'll notice that every single test I did was either even or the M1 beat out the Mini. Now, what I thought was really interesting is when I, you know, reached out to Rennie Ritchie and he gave an answer, I put it in the video, and he talked about the Mini was an underclocked A15. Now, I can't find that anywhere. I don't know where that information comes from, but all of a sudden in my comment section, everyone's a genius talking about why would you think that would beat that? It's an underclock. Bro, whoever said that it was underclock? I believe Renee because he said it, but everyone else acting like it's common knowledge is really confusing to me. When did anyone ever say that the A15 was underclocked in the Mini? How is that common knowledge? When did I miss that? Did I miss that?
People discovered it because if you check like the Geekbench, as I am going to do right now on both devices, on Geekbench for the Mini, and someone asked for the scores. The single core is 1597, multi-core 4488. Well, this doesn't make sense.
I did Geekbench machine learning tests. I didn't do just a regular. I did the machine learning because machine learning is just what everyone's pushing.
Well, it says my iPhone has a 1.18 gigahertz clock speed, but I don't think Geekbench is updated on my iPhone because this is clearly wrong.
This is what I'm saying.
But I think someone looked at the frequency scores in Geekbench. Hold on.
And the other thing is, why would an iPhone, which is going to have a worse thermal kind of envelope, be clocked and a Mini be underclocked? That doesn't even make sense.
So the base frequency on the 13 Pro is 3.23 gigahertz. The base frequency on the Mini is 2.93 gigahertz. So it's underclocked.
Just a little bit difference. A little bit. Like, that's the biggest. I hate people to do that stuff. They talk all this stuff like it's a big deal. And they don't even know. And by the way, that's base. So we're assuming that it can turbo up, right? Because that's usually what base means. But regardless of that, that 300 megahertz, it's not going to make such a big difference that you can go, oh, well, it's underclocked. You should know better. No. The whole idea behind this test was to see, Is there improvement? Now, everyone, now, I guess the real test would really be at this point is the Air versus the Mini. Now, I don't have an Air. I can't do that test. So maybe Greg could.
Yeah.
I'd be curious of that. But the whole point of it was to see, does the technology that moves from the A15 from an M1, which is basically an A14X, like what's the difference there? I'm just curious. The newer processors, is there any benefit at all? And there wasn't. So it was just interesting. It was just an interesting thing, I thought.
Yeah. And for some things, maybe I would have expected maybe the A15 to outperform. Mm-hmm. But don't forget, the M1 is in a league of its own at this point.
Yeah, all of it is. All of it is. Yeah, all of it is. And listen, regardless of any of it, they're both incredibly powerful devices. And then we got the whole people came in and, oh, no, you got it wrong. The M1 was always meant for desktops and laptops. They just squeezed it into an iPad Pro. I just send them links to Rene Ritchie videos about that and go, just go educate yourself. I mean, I think
the important takeaway is even though it's an underclocked A15 or whatever, based on at least the Geekbench scores, I don't know, maybe I could do more thorough testing. It's still more powerful than the iPad Air. So yeah, I think that's the important takeaway from it. And it's
But then the question was, what does that actually mean in day to day? And what I found was 90% of the stuff you use, there is no difference. The only difference I could come up with was in LumaFusion exporting a video, which is the one I love to do because it's the one thing that's realistic that you could do that you might see a difference. And there was a difference. And the Pro beat it by like 36 seconds on a 7.5 minute
video. It's not like a huge difference either. It's 36 seconds.
It's not a huge difference, but it's still there. Quite a bit considering that, you know, you have a processor that is much newer than the older one. And it goes to prove that the Pro really is kind of a, quote, Pro. Because if it was 2 or 3 seconds, remember those years when it was like 2 seconds?
Yeah, that's
like,
true. That's true.
You know what I mean? Now I'm seeing an actual difference on a 7 minute video where before I was doing 10 minute videos and there was a 2 second difference. I'm like, bro. Now at least I can go, okay, there is a difference. And if you kind of scale that up to like a 10, okay, I got it. You're saving me time. Thank you. Let me move along. But before it was like, what the hell? So anyway, just all that to say, the Mini's performance is awesome as well. So there's really, again, the things I would change right now, if I could, give me 120 hertz. I would love that. I didn't think I would care as much as I currently do, but I am not hating this thing one bit. I love it. I love it as much as I thought I would. I got 2 cases for it. I got the white and the orange. And I would definitely recommend anyone who goes, hey, would you recommend the iPad Mini? If you are a tablet type person or even open to that life, yes.
Yeah, same for me. Even though my title, apparently, people didn't want to watch the video for the nuance. I would say if you want a tablet and you're not ever thinking about, hey, I'm going to get this iPad and maybe it'll replace my laptop, I would say get the Mini. Like, I think the form factor is what I want out of a tablet. Like, I love laying down with the Mini and just holding it up. Like, it's so nice to lounge with. It's way more relaxing than, like, using your phone and using, like, a bigger iPad. Because the iPads have gotten so big nowadays. Even, like, the Air and the Pro are, like, they're, like, 11-inch displays and stuff like that. So the original iPad was 9.7 inches. So I think the Mini's closer to that display size than the new iPads are. It's really weird. So I strongly recommend the Mini too. I think it's a fantastic tablet. But again, it's not for everyone. Like if you wanted to connect a keyboard case to your iPad and stuff like that, obviously don't get the Mini. Get any of the other iPads, even the cheap $329 iPad. I didn't even open that one yet. I'm sure it's just as good as last year's because of
that one's kind of the least exciting. The one thing it does get, of course, is Center Stage, which is nice, and I'm glad it's finally on kind of the more reasonable iPads because I think Center Stage, when they first showed it, I'm like, this is a consumer thing. Yeah. It's not an iPad Pro thing. It's a consumer level feature. So I'm really glad that it's on the common stuff now. People can take advantage of it because I think Center Stage is on the iPhone as well, right? I don't know. That's a dumb question.
No, it's not.
Wait, it's not?
No.
Huh. That's interesting. I guess it's because they figure you won't prop it up. I guess that might be, but might be kind of fun.
I think because it's like a super ultra wide camera on the center stage.
But on the front. Yeah, but on the back you could do it. Wouldn't that be interesting for some video stuff?
Oh, do it on the back? Maybe. Yeah.
It might be kind of interesting. I don't know. Anyway, it's fine. It doesn't have to be. Anyway, long or short of it is iPad Mini will remain the official tablet of GadgetCast for a while.
I love it because it's like, it is, again, it's all about the form factor. Like it can do everything else the other iPads can do, but it's like, it's just so cool. Like I'm doing GadgetCast right here and this is like every gadget cast I do right now, I feel like this is gonna be like my little companion when I need to like look stuff up, because it's like I just put it right there on the desk. It's so small, easy to pick up. Like, it's so like hassle free. That's what I really like about this iPad. Like, it's not gonna be sitting in a keyboard case ever. Like, it's always just gonna be there, ready for me to pick up and use. So I love it.
Yeah. Super excited about, you know, my next couple of weeks with these, both these devices, to see exactly, you know, which one I like better and what kind of things I get. The iPhone is definitely going to be put through its paces this coming up week. I'll be using it for videos and pictures and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. I can't think of anything else really to say, because by the same token, while it is, you know, the best iPhone, it wasn't like a drastic change. There were some cool features. Some people say that the 12 to 13 was bigger than the 11 to 12. And
I kind of agree with that. I agree with that from the I agree with it from the for the pro phones. I think the 12 to the 13, not much really changed. But if you look at all the pro features they added from the 11 Pro, if you compare the 11 Pro to the 12 Pro, and then you compare the 12 Pro to the 13 Pro, I think the 13 Pro has a lot more changes. I think people were just more distracted last year because it had a new design. So people saw a new design and went, oh, everything's new. But if you compare like feature for feature, I feel like 13 Pro actually has a lot of features. Don't forget, you know, the 12 Pro didn't have 120 hertz and it didn't have a lot of these camera features that we're kind of gushing over. There was no macro mode. There was no 3X on the telephoto. Cinematic mode's completely new. That is on the regular ones, but it's new on the pros too. So I think maybe if you did feature for feature, yeah, the 13 Pro might win out, especially with the bigger batteries, like important features.
So a real quick question from the chat before we kind of wrap up. Do you think they will not make another mini for a while? This is actually a really good question, because that's actually harder to answer than I think it looks like on the surface, because the mini had been the redheaded stepchild to begin with, right? And it had taken a while in between refreshes anyway. And this is a major refresh. So Apple could sit on their laurels for this for a while and go, we gave you a complete redesign, we're going to see you back in 3 years, or maybe not at all. Or they could see like the real positive press and hopefully the positive fan feedback and buying it and stuff, that hopefully they see that there is a real desire for this, even though there may not be a desire for a mini phone. I think there is for a mini iPad. I hope that this is just one. I'm waiting for that mini pro. Just give me 120 hertz and some other, and 128 gigs. And I'm in. And the GadgetCast purple, and I'm in. Case in point, if you were to buy an iPad mini right now from the good old Apple store, or at least you would try to, you would, no engraving, cancel. I want to see when it's available. Looks like you won't be able to get it for another almost month. So that means Apple sold out, which is interesting. And I'm talking about the purple color even. So that's not even like the standard one. The black they probably make more of, and it's the same thing a month from now. So if already the iPad mini is sold out, that bodes well.
Yeah, that's actually really good. I wasn't even expecting it to be sold out. It'll be interesting whether the mini survives or not. Again, it really does depend on the sales data here. So the mini used to sell back in the day because it was the cheapest iPad.
Right.
It is no longer that product anymore. So it will be very interesting to see how this sells and what Apple's strategy for the mini. I feel like they developed this strategy with the mini iPhones in mind, but that didn't work out for them, clearly. Obviously, this was already a product in their pipeline that I don't think they could really cancel. So the iPad mini might survive, but it looks like the phones, at least for the minis, are going away. And based on that sales data of it being a month already sold out before you can get a new mini, means that Apple's usually pretty good at ordering what they think they can sell. So that means they didn't order enough iPads. That means they underestimated how much they would probably sell. So that's a good sign for the mini.
Yeah, that actually excites me, and I really hope that's the case. Going to Best Buy and seeing if they have availability on the major colors. They do. It says, yeah, okay, so for me, I could order it now and get it in about 5 days, about 2 days. So that, at least some retailers still have them. So Apple themselves don't have them, which is interesting. Best Buy right now has some availability. So there are products out in the distribution, but for whatever reason, Apple themselves have sold through them.
Sharon in the chat says, the Mini started out as an equal device. Apple made a budget device later. That is not true. The Mini started out, because I had the first Mini, it was $329. The regular iPad was $500. The Mini started off as a budget device, believe it or not. Because that was back in the day when they thought they might have had to compete with the Nexus 7, which was a really great low-cost Android tablet. And that was probably one of the best Android tablets ever made. And I don't know what Google, I don't know what they did to it, but yeah, that was actually a good tablet. My friend had that one, and like it had like higher resolution than the iPad Mini. Like it had like a really good display. Like I like that one a lot.
It's really funny because they started out as a budget device, which is what you think when you think of it now, but only because of the size.
Yes.
Everything else about it is not a budget.
Now it's a, I know it's not the pros, but it is, it's a premium device. To spend $500 on an iPad Mini, that's a lot of money to spend on it, but it is, it's a really good iPad. So I think it's well worth it. I love the design of it. And it's smaller than the old iPad Mini, actually. So I like that too. It's a bigger screen, but it's smaller. So it's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to take my old, I think it's an iPad Mini 2 with me to my trip next week. So hopefully that, I don't even have iOS 15 on it yet. I'm going to put that on there. Yeah, all right. Well, we're about out of time. I have to shoot a video that hopefully I can get up for tomorrow as I'm going to be out of town. I want to have something keeping my channel alive while I'm gone. Anything else we need to hit them up with before we leave, Greg?
No, we'll have more to talk about this stuff, I'm sure, next week. So
100%.
Stick back. Travis is going to do the whole battery test. He's going to let us know, can the Pro Max get you through these convention scenarios where I've been through a few conventions. Yeah, the phone batteries just die. So we'll see.
All right, everybody. Scenario. If you're listening to the audio podcast, of course, you know, leave us messages. We have email and freaking voicemail and everything in the show notes. Also, like, go to Apple Podcasts and tell them how awesome we are. And then if you're watching on YouTube, you already know, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Hit that like button and, you know, hang tight for like 2 minutes. We'll do a real quick aftercast. But for everyone else, he's Greg. I'm Travis. It's GadgetCast.